Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to, at least from my side, a still hungover Coleman Had a Dream podcast. I am joined as always by Ruth. How are you doing, Ruth?
I'm Sunday morning ish, but at least I'm not hungover. Not now, anyway.
This is the problem. It's 5 o'clock on a Sunday for me, and I'm still hungover. This is, you can, I don't know, you know, you can probably hear it in my voice, but yes, a good few days has very much been had by all. Wales, if you weren't aware, have beaten Finland 4-1 in the playoffs semi-final to get you to Euro 2024. A fantastic 4-1 victory at that, one that was very heartily celebrated, certainly at this end. Ruth, how was your day? Because I know you were looking to go to a sports bar. How did you get on?
Yeah, so I had a medical appointment about an hour away in the morning, and so it was like the game was lunchtime here, so we were obviously away from home, so it was like, well, where are we going? So managed to get a sports bar recommended, and it was actually great. We pulled up, it seemed particularly busy for a Thursday lunchtime. We thought, oh, what's going on here? You know, interest in the soccer and that sort of thing.
Loads of
And
Wales
then
fans in.
by the time we got in there, and then managed to get a screen secured. Our game started 12:45 here, and at 1 o'clock, the Oregon Ducks tipped it off in their first round March Madness basketball game. So that's actually what the crowd was for, but it made for an excellent atmosphere at the bar. So no, I had a very fun afternoon, and I had a driver for a change. So, you know, all in all, a good day was had.
Happy days. I had a very funny couple of things. I obviously worked and came home and sorted myself out, and then walked to the pub down the road. And just as I was walking to the pub down the road, a kid from school cycled past me and kind of like went past me head down. And I kind of didn't think anything of it, went into the pub, and a student from school then, and obviously unrelated, shuffles into the pub, looks and sits at the bar, and obviously tries to get someone's attention. This student is definitely not 18, and realised that I was also sat at the bar, turned around, looked at me, and just did a full like, oh God, and just stood straight up and left the bar immediately. It was absolutely hilarious. But yeah, I had a couple of warm-up drinks and then went down to meet Joy in the local bar down the road, where there was also two darts matches going on. And I was relatively calm after for the second and third goals, but for the fourth goal, because obviously like killed the game, I did a full jump celebration shout, you know, the routine.
Which bit of you did you break?
thankfully nothing, but there was a fella who was just about to take what turns out to be a crucial throw in their darts match next to me, and he was not impressed whatsoever, and he threw his dart, was very annoyed, and came up to me and did a big angry replication of what I had just done, literally fully in my face. And I was like, oh my God, is this going to kick off? And I think he thought I was doing it to wind him up, and I just kind of like was there in my whale shirt and everything else, looked up at the TV, and it was just like, oh, you're watching the match? I was like, yeah. And it was like, oh, congratulations. Turned around. Oh,
I thought this was given.
Exactly. Making friends everywhere we go. So Tuesday, I'll be going back down to the bar as well. I have a concert on Wednesday night, I think I told you. So we have our last kind of run through on Tuesday night. So I'm basically finishing work, going to eat some tea in the car, eat some chips on the car on the way home, and go straight to the pub and watch the game. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting. It was going to be an interesting week. Tell me your overall thoughts on the game, Ruth. You know, the obvious excitement aside.
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of people, I was a little disconcerted that we weren't starting Kiefer Moore, but you know, I have to say, Paige got that right. It worries me when he's been our most consistent goal scorer that he's not in the team. But then, I don't think we can argue with the way things turned out with that starting three. I like the fact that although we were playing notionally five at the back, it was three at the back, wasn't it? And then sort of four across midfield. And I think I like the fact that we were front-footed about that and came out. And often often Nico Williams and Connor Roberts were much, much further up than you would think of for wing-backs, playing as more like old-fashioned wingers. And I think it was good that we kind of took the game by the scruff of the neck and went for it. There was some concerns. I think we got a little careless in the first half. I think the relative possession stats are quite interesting, but I mean, overall, can't argue with that performance.
I think I see it very similarly to you. I was really impressed with how the fullbacks pushed up and made that a genuine four in midfield, and that closed down a lot of the space we were talking about. It did lead to a couple of iffy moments. I think the Hakan's chance on 9 minutes, just, you know, not long after we'd scored. I mean, I would, dare I say it, Lewandowski would have scored that.
Yeah,
and
I
I think
think we were very,
obviously,
I think actually when, you know, in hindsight, I think we might have been very fortunate that that didn't go in, because I think that might have wobbled us.
yeah, and then that
And I think,
immediately would gone back to 1-1, wouldn't it? And then the game kind of maybe plays out differently from that. I do have concerns about the, you know, that space that was left behind by the fullbacks. Whilst it was great when we were in possession, did leave us a little bit vulnerable. And I think whilst the goal didn't directly come from the fullback area, it was a wider part of the pitch and it dragged two people out. You know, iffy communication perhaps, which then left the space for Pukki to go in and score. But you know, we're in absolutely no position to complain about a 4-1 win in a playoff semi-final. It's the first time we've ever won a European Championship playoff game, which is pretty amazing. And overall, I think when we came out for the second half, I think that slightly higher and more aggressive press seemed to be employed, and that really changed the game in our favour. And I think that quick goal made a huge difference. And from there on in, everything kind of went the way we needed it to go. I don't think it was they were a real threat to us. They had quite a decent amount of the ball, but didn't really do much with it. Whereas every time we had the ball, I looked like we were going to score. So yeah, overall, absolutely delighted.
I think we have talked on occasion about perhaps Paige's sort of tactical naivety, and I think this was a really important game for him because he had us set up right. They addressed the questions at half time and they came out, and as you say, the possession really, really improved in the second half. I think the fact that, you know, just anecdotally, none of the goal scorers in that game were part of our Euro 16 squad. So I think it's just very, it's like a kind of stamp in the ground that this is, we have moved on. We're in a different place now. This is a different era. And I think as a sort of marker for Paige, it became a very important game for that.
Yeah, I think so too, actually. We've had a question from Kaelin Davith on Twitter, and he said a similar sort of thing. Do you remember the time we beat Ireland away in 2018? A Harry Wilson free kick, I think it was. It's the first time we won a competitive game without Bale and Ramsey since 2008. Many thought we couldn't do it. Now on Tuesday, we could qualify without both ultimately, which feels like a full circle moment. And I think it's a very good point, because if you look through, you know, Ramsey's involvement in the entire campaign, he's not offered a huge amount through injury and whatnot, whereas obviously he didn't get any involvement on Thursday, and yet here we are still winning that game 4-1. And Hal Robson-Kanu tweeted after the match as well, "This squad is better than mine," the 2016 squad. And I think that's a really interesting point, because whilst we maybe don't have the Bale and vintage Ramsey that we did have in that squad, we do have genuine options off the bench. And that was the thing that I think really changed the game for me in terms of that intensity. And, you know, often I reference Newcastle here, but that was just something that Newcastle did really well under Eddie Howe last year, is we would get to 60 or 70 minutes and that high intensity had really taken its toll on players. We switched it all around. Three new attacking players would come into the game and the intensity levels would go the other way. They would go up instead. And it just made made us a nightmare to play against, because as people are getting tired, we've got three more lunatics coming round running your legs off you. And I think, again, he did that really well on Thursday, made the change at the right time, and really, really positively impacted the game. So I think it's been a big momentum shifter for Paige, because anyone who wants to slag him, as some people maybe do, you're at a point now where really he's taken us to a World Cup, he's taken us to a Euros. We're on the, you know, in the final of a playoff game to take us to another Euros. It would be our fourth tournament in five. You know, it's remarkable, really. So I think it was a big night for him.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with any of that. I think it's I just think it's an interesting moment. I think this is, you know, we are shifting as a team. We're not that set of superstars. And when we look at Poland, I'm sure this idea of superstars will come up. And I think we've had a difficult task moving away from that. And I think we're starting to reap the rewards. You look at the like of Ampadu and James getting their 50 caps. And I know not all of that is on page, far from it, but I think it does kind of emphasize this fact that we as a small nation, you've got to be very conscious of the developmental path. You look at what's been happening with the 21s games recently, for example, and it's all playing into this. And I think it's just good, you know, good on the FAW, good on the system.
Absolutely. And to go with that, Ruth, Ethan Ampadu got his 50th cap, as you said recently. He's 23 years old.
I know.
Lunacy from the boy.
I'm sitting across the coffee table from my son. Guess how old my son is? 23. He ain't Ethan Ampadu. Love him as I do.
That's true. I've never seen Iwan play football, but I don't have him down as an Ethan Ampadu, a destructive midfielder, if I'm honest. Let's look at the game. Let's revel in the positivity and excitement of the game itself. I mean, what a brilliant start. You know, we really got out of the traps well and in those first couple of minutes really attacked them. And the things we talked about, I think, yeah, that fluid front three, which again, I didn't think I would have played if it was my choice. But in they came, and what a fantastic start they had. And that idea that we talked about someone having the ball up, moving it out wide, cutting in and creating havoc basically in the spaces that were left behind from that worked really, really well. And obviously a great move from Wilson, who was fantastic on the night. Well, not the best shot, to be fair, but the keeper did us an absolute solid after we'd praised him last week and popped it straight out to Brooksy, who had a lovely finish. I thought, I'd love your opinion on this, because I thought the finish was actually quite clever. I think it might be a bit easy to kind of just leather that, but he knows the keeper's going one way and he's intentionally put it over him the other way. And it was a really nice finish. Rather than just lashing that, he really placed that in, and it was a really clever goal, I thought.
Yeah, it would be very easy to sky that, actually, wouldn't it, to get underneath that. And I think you're right. I think it's very much placed, which, you know, from that sort of position, that sort of build up, that sort of chance, often it's someone just hammering it and sort of hoping for the best almost. But that was very, it was just very well taken goal ultimately. Obviously great to see him scoring and involved in particular. But to go back what you were saying about Wilson, I think he was my man of the match. I think I like that role that he has for us, where he's kind of can drop in and be supportive of Ampadu and Jordan James when needed, but is also offensive enough that he'll run at people, he'll ping it wide, he'll, you know, you look at some of his, I realise the free kick ultimately was taken by Nico, but you like your chances when Wilson lines up as well. I think just, you know, he's becoming an exceptionally valuable player for us.
I agree, and I think he's doing that in a way and in a place now which is invaluable, because he's in the form of his life and he's finally got the opportunity to be one of the first names on the team sheet probably, and that kind of freedom that he has and what he can create with it is fantastic. I agree, I thought he was excellent on the night. Ampadu was my man of the match, but I will come back to him in a moment. Let's talk a bit more about that Harry Wilson involvement, because having those options mean you can put the ball right or left depending on the angle and the situation, and I think that helps to create a bit of confusion. And as I say, I watched the game with Joy, who's, you know, not a regular watcher of football, and she was just like, oh my god, that was so clever, the way that, you know, ran the other way and did a little distraction. I was just like, yeah, it was. And obviously Nico has absolutely shit pinged that into the top corner. It was absolutely delightful. What a finish. But again, that little invention and these little touches are, it shows a team who's confident and positive and happy to take risks. And bloody hell, what a finish that was.
I think it was interesting. In his interview after the game, Nico made it sound like they've improvised it, which I don't quite believe, particularly given the involvement of the three, our three defenders making almost like a kind of second wall,
like a second
almost,
wheeler.
And then getting out of the way. So I think there was a little bit more organised than perhaps Nico was letting on in his interview. Yeah. But I think the interplay was very clever, because it Paradeski goes one way because of Wilson running over the ball in that, you know, to the left as we're playing. And then obviously the back heel knocks it back to the right. Their wall is confused. Like, it's interesting, nobody from their wall was running out and pressurising, and I think that might have made a difference. But then I think, you know, Mepham, Rodden and Davies play their part in that goal as well. Yeah. Mepham only just gets out of the way, but they do. So I think it was just a really well taken, interesting free kick.
Yeah, it was. And it was great to see that ball kind of rifle into the back of the net. It was one of those, I felt like as soon as he took it and it struck it, I was just like, here we go. obviously they get a goal back. A bit disappointed with how that came about, really. We've talked about some kind of defensive confusion. And I'm not here to slag people out, but I did Meppham, I think we've talked to before, is always has the capacity to give you the feeling like you're going to have some kind of heart attack. And I think he did that a few times. You know, one of few players really who's out of form, or, well, maybe not out of form, but certainly not getting loads of game time. Mm-hmm. And I think that showed some of his passing was sloppy. And I just felt like he got a little bit panicky at times. And that moment there where him and I think it was Davis both go for the ball and it kind of shuffles its way through somehow.
Yeah.
He tries to turn and recover and he's kind of nowhere near it and Ward can't do anything. And it just felt like a sort of a goal out of nothing. It was quite avoidable, I thought. They didn't really create a huge amount before that. And, you know, I don't really think Ward had a proper save to make, really.
There's one save later on, but going back to that chance, I think it's disappointing that particularly in that part of the game when you're in the position to be going in at half time, 2-0 up, very much in control, you know, and it gives them some momentum. You know, usually it would give them some momentum at the start of the second half. Obviously things didn't pan out that way. But I think we've got to be mindful of that with when we get to the Poland game, because they're very interested in this kind of quick on the break, long ball, put your defender on the back foot, get them turning kind of to play. So I think we have to be mindful of it. As regards Meppham in particular, I mean, I think he's going to be the one of the three that's slightly out of step, just as you were saying, the level of play he's getting for Bournemouth at the minute. I don't think we have an option particularly at the minute with,
no,
you know, with Lockyer's situation, no Cabango, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I also think he'll be better on Tuesday for Thursday's game.
100%.
So I think it's silly not to kind of keep that momentum up as well a little bit. So I think we're kind of where we are with that. And I think it's also important that we work on embedding these trios too. I think some stability there is helpful.
I agree. And I think looking at that in a positive spin as well, he's also made these errors in a game which it didn't come back to haunt us in terms of the result. So you'd like to think that those errors now, or, you know, he's bedded in a bit more and having that game time and the circumstance of the people around him will be helpful. So you'd like to think he's kind of got that out of the way, if you like it. But, you know, and I, you know, that is something we need to address. You mentioned there the Poland playing wide and getting the balls across and trying to drag people out of position. That's how they get their goals. So we do have to be aware of that. And I'm sure we'll also be working on that this week. It's a different problem facing Poland compared to Finland. So I'm sure that will change what we do. As you say, obviously, the third goal straight after half time, whatever momentum they would have had, just gets killed immediately. I wanted to wait and hold and talk about Ampadu, a potential man of the match, but a candidate for me because of this. Because when the ball comes across, there is a real tussle that he has with the guy at the back post there. But there's no way he's not winning that header. And not only, what's really easy in that circumstance is when the ball comes across there, you try and kind of put it across, but you end up, because of the angle and everything else, it just kind of flicks off a bit and ends up going a bit more in the general direction. The keeper kind of snuffs out. Mm-hmm. He's so determined to win that header that he can kind of leverage his whole body and get the ball to go back, which is such a hard thing to do in that position. And he was just like, this is mine, mate. You do whatever you want, but this is what's happening. Okay, goes to Brooks, slight scuff, but a bit fortunate that the guy, Ampadu, has just leveled this guy. Yeah. And the reason Johnson's onside, basically, is because someone's on their arse. But, you know, and he's got the easiest tapping. But I think it goes to show that these things also, okay, it's a little bit lucky to one extent, but also, you make your own luck in the sense that determination to be in that moment and win that ball and do what you needed to do was, I thought, kind of encapsulated everyone. And yet the outcome was a bit fortunate in the end. But really, we deserved what we got from that situation. Got what we deserved, sorry. And I think on Ampadu in general, I think the way he managed the game and drove us forward when we had to, really sat in when we needed to, clever little passes, clever little long passes, really kind of, I think in the end, they were happy to sit off Ampadu because they didn't know what he was going to do. If you kind of dive in at him, he's just going to embarrass you with a quick short ball around the corner. And to avoid doing that, they gave him space, which means he could run into space and start pinging diagonal balls. I just thought he was amazing. And as we said earlier, 23, you know, 50 caps. He's just a joke of a footballer. Absolute joke. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, Nico Williams, who got the man of the match, was great. As I say, Wilson was excellent, but I thought Ampadu was just, in terms of managing that game, I thought Ampadu was just on a complete other planet. And He was an absolute pleasure to watch.
Yeah, no, he's really stepping up. I think we've always had our concerns about the central defensive situation.
Yeah.
And I think we're fortunate that we've got someone there who, you know, all things being equal, he'll be there another 10 years at least. And I you know, hopefully we're seeing this level of play. And yeah, no, it's amazing actually. I think actually, in a strange way, having the responsibility that he's been given at
Yeah.
Leeds, I think that is another step that's brought him on. You know, captaining a team of that
Yeah.
stature and everything that goes along with that. I think we're reaping some rewards from that as well, because I think, not that he's not always been mature, but I think you can see a real development over the last year to 18 months in him.
I agree. I agree. And you know, mentioning the Leeds connection there, I think that's been really helpful. Dan James comes on, Moore comes on, etc. And that energy and vibrance was a different threat for them. And I think just as we were kind of getting control of the game, you bring on massive Kiefer Moore. Dan James is, you know, running around you like a fly. And the Finnish lads were probably thinking, oh, God, go away. And they probably spent 10 minutes of the game trying to work out what we were doing next, right? And we were just killing the game around the clock. It was just perfect. And obviously James has been in red hot form for Leeds. The turn of pace he showed to press the man was amazing. The fact that he had that determination in the 87th minute or whatever it was, and it was his 50th cap, he just mugged him. And there's a brilliant moment, well, I say brilliant, brilliant for us, when he mugs him and takes one touch and he pushes the ball out of his feet and he just disappears from that defender. And the defender looks like he's going to try and make an effort to go after him. And you can see he's just like, I'm just not going to bother. There's no point here, lads. You crack on. You enjoy yourself, mate. Thank you. And I don't even think the defender didn't even look that annoyed in the end when the ball goes in. It was just an acceptance of like, oh, well, what can
It
you
is what it
do?
is.
Yeah, but a great way to kind of finish the game and put the stamp on everything and confirm really what we already knew at that point that we were going through.
Yeah, no, I think the, as you said, the turn of pace in particular from James is so impressive in that. I mean, I'm sure the defender thought he had plenty of time, and then
Yeah.
suddenly there's a man on him. And I think it's a great option to have him off the bench with 20, 25 minutes to go, isn't it? That's feels like a real luxury. And I
Yeah.
think we're very blessed. And I think Paige is also, you know, he's going to perm three from, but different circumstances. And I think that's also good for the team that, you know, we're looking at what works for us. We're looking at what works for op against particular opposition. We are, yeah, just generally being able to make kind of proactive decisions rather than just, oh, well, this is our starting 11 and it is what it is kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I think let's talk about the lineup a little bit for the Poland game, as we're kind of wrapping up talking about this, because I think it raises an interesting question there, because Dan James came on. We had a question from the Welsh Dragon 9 on Twitter. Can you see DJ coming into the side for his work rate when we're out of possession, or do we think it'll be the same again? Equally, Simon Owens has contacted and said, does Paige go again with the same front three? Worked brilliantly on Thursday, and Finland had an immobile back line. I think James is an impact sub is fantastic. So there's certainly no guarantees in there from our fan base. I think it was interesting for me to see Brennan Johnson plays such an active role in the way in our build up play, and
I think it might have been the best game he's had for us by quite a way,
yeah,
actually, Dave.
I agree. I agree. And I think looking at how what that means though in terms of our opposition, I think is the question. And I think for me, they obviously Finland play with a four, Poland play with a five, very, very similar to us actually. Poland play with a five, but where their full backs are two wingers, really. And are less defensively minded, very much offensively minded. I think they will look to pin back our wing backs, which is great in one sense because it means there'll be space in behind, but also that does leave the space in wide areas then for them to kind of control the ball in midfield. And I think that's definitely what they're after. So part of me thinks having that fluid front three to utilize the space that I think the full back, sorry, will leave behind will be really helpful. Equally, I do feel like because they play five at the back, there is then that little bit more congestion, if you like, in a defensive area. So will we have the space to move that back line round a bit? Because yes, there's some good players there. There's also some, you know, bang average, you know, aging players as well. So it's not quite as simple. Part of me thinks that more will come in, because I think the back three, playing against a back three, sorry, will suit him a little bit better. But I think the way Page has set things up the other day, you're loath to change it, but I don't know whether the circumstance needs a change.
I mean, they tend to sit back in the defensive block and push you wide, put two people on your sort of fullback winger, put them in a position where really the only space is to go backwards.
Yeah.
So it might be that we accept that and we let Wilson and Brooks kind of go a bit more through the middle and try and make what they can of any space that does open up. Or we say to Nico and Connor Roberts, you know, do what you can out there, but we're not expecting a huge number of crosses within any particular game.
Yeah.
I agree. I think they may see themselves as having a bit of sort of aerial defence in the centre of that back three as well. So I think they may fancy their chances up against more. So I wouldn't surprise me actually if we ultimately go for the same trio and just accept that it's going to be a little messier, perhaps is the best way of putting it, than the game against Finland, where we're going to have to build up the possession. The ball's going to be going across, you know, halfway into their half, it's going to be going from the left across through the middle, back out to the right, back again, just trying to create some gaps, some spaces for that moment where you can, you know, someone can run on, or, you know, Ampadu has sneaked up for a head, you know, in a good position for a header or something like that. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, ultimately a Nico or Wilson free kick, because of that kind of pressure on their block, is ultimately where we might have some chances. Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways they kind of remind me of that Croatia team that we played quite recently, in the sense that they will have a lot, you know, a decent amount of the ball. I think we'll, you know, certainly look to attack certain areas, but I think we'll leave spaces for us. And looking at a lot of their games, they've still had, you know, 60% possession, a lot of it side to side, not done huge amounts with it, but then have got caught on the break. They lost 2-0 to Albania. I think Albania had 30-something% possession, but had three shots on target, scored two goals. You know, they got goals on the break, and that's going to be something I think that we can certainly exploit with the front three. Equally, I did notice that looking through some of their clips, they conceded goals from crosses quite easily, and that, you know, that space in behind is effective when they leave it behind, and I think that suits us as well. So if you're going to try and get goals from crosses, you also need a big lad like Kiefer Moore to be the danger in that. So it's a real difficult conundrum. And I think whilst beforehand I would have looked at it and said, yes, definitely more, the more you kind of think about it and talk it through, there are genuine options here. But I do think the key is that if you look at how we set up the other night, if that doesn't work, we can easily bring on James. We can easily bring on Moore. We can easily bring on Ramsey if we need to. We can easily bring on others who are going to have some attacking threat and be, you know, genuine menaces for us, and we have the ability to do that within the game, as long as we stay within the game defensively strong. So it's going to be really interesting. I think whatever he does, the upside is that we have the ability to change it and do something with it quite easily, I think, within the game.
I think that's what's changed, Dave, is that we can make changes without having to do anything terribly dramatic.
Yeah.
Within the back eight, you know, you can have a very different approach with those front three, depending on quite what permutation you go to, but you don't have to disturb the back eight to do that, and I think that's a big plus.
I absolutely agree. I just want to, because I'm our first half of our free Zoom is minutes from ending. I just wanted to reference one thing about the home advantage a little bit before we talk about us a little bit more on Tuesday. It's obviously hugely important and powerful for us having that home advantage, because as we discussed last time, our home advantage and our home form is excellent. In the last year, the Czech Republic have won one game away from home, which was against the Faroe Islands 2-0. They lost 3-1 to the Czechs, 3-2 to Moldova, 2-0 to Albania. They draw the and the yeah, sorry, and that was it from as away games. Looking back a little bit further, their away form is really sketchy. And they always seem to get a goal, but looking back beyond that previous campaign in the World Cup, obviously their last away win, hilariously before that, was obviously against Wales in the Nations League. But they've had draws, losses. They lost 6-1 to Belgium in that time. They drew with Scotland. Their last win before that was against Poland against Andorra, sorry, in 2021. So their away form is really not great, and I think they seem to do well with their home form. That seems to be the thing that kind of carries them through, and I think that is very true of us. And I think having that home advantage is going to be huge for us.
Yeah, I was looking it up, and since the autumn of 2020, they've only won two games away from home, one against us and one against the Faroes. So I think you're right. I think the home draw is really crucial for us. Obviously, they have beaten us in Cardiff. We can't pretend they haven't, but they don't travel well, at least not recently. And obviously, those games against Moldova in particular, that's what put them out of real contention in their UEFA qualifying group. You know, they're in the same position that we're in because we're very similar teams. We're inconsistent. You know, we can go toe-to-toe with, like, you know, we can go toe-to-toe with Croatia and then struggle with Armenia. And they've had a similar span of games recently. You know, it's not accidental that we're 29th and 30th in the rankings. We're remarkably similar teams. Yeah. And I think ultimately, when you're looking at teams that are so close, that play not dissimilar style, that have, you know, a bit of stardust speckled around, but not hugely, I think ultimately the home crowd might well be what makes the difference in this.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. We are going to quickly pause here and we will start another Zoom up in a second and we'll be back very shortly. Thank you very much. So we are back from our halftime break. Ruth has had a coffee. I've just eaten some crisps. We are ready and energized for the second half of the pod.
All well with the world, eh?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, there's one thing we were talking about, the contradictions there, Poland away from home and us at home. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to reference something else that I found interesting whilst I was doing my research for this, which is how our first halves seem to differ from our second halves. And in our last 10 games, we have scored 11 goals in first halves and conceded 4. In the second halves, we've scored 6, conceded 6. And I found that really, really interesting. Equally, if games had just been played in the first half, our last 10 games would have yielded 19 points. Equally, if they'd had just been the second half, they would have yielded 13 points, which is, interestingly, I think, the points total we finished our group with. That really spoke to me, especially because in two senses, one, against Finland, we didn't concede in the second half. We did score 2 more goals and we killed the game off. We also did score 2 first half goals and kind of went after teams and went after Finland, and it really, really worked. I really feel like we're going to have to do that because I think Poland are going to score. I think we've got to be realistic with that. So I think it's important that we get after them, because we're going to have to score 2, I think, if we want to go through. And I think the only way we're going to do that is get after them. They are going to have a lot of the ball, but I think it's important that when we have the ball and when we are pressing them, that we kind of do that with a real energy and we make the most of that so that we can hopefully be in a position where we aren't chasing the game in the second half, because it seems at the moment that is not really something that is a strong thing for us.
Yeah, I think it might reflect the fact, Dave, that until very recently, we've had options up front, but it's been from a group of players that often weren't getting first team play. And we kind of made it work. We found 3 that we could probably make it work in any given game. But then we were bringing off the bench players who had even less immediate playing time. And I think you can't really draw a data point from the one Finland game, but I think what might be changing is that we're in a position to actually choose what as we were saying before, what we think are the best three in a given circumstance and still have options off the bench. So I think one of the reasons we might have sort of run out of steam in some of these games is you've pushed those players that really weren't 100% match fit, or at least not match ready, as it were, to the sort of 65th, 67th minute, and they've run out of steam. You haven't really had anything you can pull off the bench to support. And so we've been, even when we've been in a good position, we've been hanging on. And when we've been chasing our tails, we've literally been chasing our tails.
Yeah.
So I think that may come into play with these. I think the stats are really interesting, but I think that might be something in what has sort of generated that contrast between the two halves.
I think so. And that's a great shout, actually. I hadn't thought of that, but I think it's a really interesting point. I also think that, you know, we've talked a lot of times about how similar they are. I think it's fascinating that Poland haven't won a doubleheader since October 2021. They beat San Marino at home and Albania away, which is, you know, a long old time ago. So again, I think there are extra things which are our favour, but it goes to show how important the home crowd, I think, are going to be. I think.
Yeah. I mean, doubleheaders aren't our forte either. We've got to be careful with that too.
Shut up, Ruth. I think I wonder, there was one other thing before we just look at Poland and how they got on the other night as well. Do you think that was the best win of the Rob Page era? I thought it was odd that there was also some criticism of the game, the performance, and Page on the call Rob phone in after the match, because overall I thought it was excellent. But do you think it was the best win of the Page era, and was there any warranted criticisms?
I think it depends how you define it. I think it depends what you mean by best. I mean, I think clearly for its impact and what it meant, then the Ukrainian win is the key one. But in terms of where Page, in terms of the setup and the build-up and who he was working with, who was missing, who was there, I think it might be the best from him, as it were. Because I think this really felt like the development of a bit, and you know, you look how many of those players were with him in the under-21s and the journey that they've done together and things. So I think this really felt like it was kind of stamped by Page, as it were. So I think in that sense, it might be his best win. Yeah,
I think so. I think you're right about the Ukraine one, obviously, but I think that was done with not his team, if you like. I think he's had to build this team in the post-Bale, and to an extent, you know, Ramsey Allen, etc. era. So from that marker, I would say this is probably his best result. Is this that or the Croatia one at home? I thought we were excellent that night as well. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by Poland and their win the other night. They won 5-1. A little bit of a strange when they were down to Estonia, were down to 10 men when they scored 4 of the 5 goals. But they, you know, as we've discussed earlier about the idea of attacking those wide spaces, dragging people around and then exploiting it, it's definitely how they get their goals. Equally, their goal that Estonia scored came from a wide area. They kind of exploited that, cut inside, and it was a bit of a scrappy goal, but that is ultimately where it came from. But I think those two things are very, very interesting. As we mentioned last time, the manager is new. He's had 5 games now, drawn 2, won 3 after the other night. I think this was one of the first most kind of difficult games, if you like, that he's had to manage, in the sense that it was a playoff game. But I mean, if you look at who they've had in that time, the Faroes, Moldova, Czech Republic, Latvia in a friendly, and then obviously the playoff game against Estonia. So I think this is going to be his first real test as a manager. The other thing I wanted to reference is that Poland are a decent side. They've very much got a real mixed bag of players in the same way as us. And a lot of people are saying this is, you know, not the team it used to be. It's Lewandowski's older now and is not quite doesn't contribute as much, and you know, the rest of their players are nothing to write home about. But you look through the team that started the other night, and you know, some good players there. I mean, I don't know, there's much point in me embarrassing myself and saying names here, but you know, Szczesny is the keeper, he plays for Juve. Got Bednarek, who's been around the Premier League, he plays for Arsenal in the Championship now, but still a good player. Kiwar, who plays for Arsenal. You've got Zielinski, who plays for Napoli. You've got Zalewski, who plays for Roma. You've obviously got Lewandowski up front. You know, they've got real strength all over the pitch, haven't they?
I think this might be one of the things that concerns me, Dave, is that when you look at the number of their players that have experience of really pressurized games, lots of Champions League games, and I think Ben Davies might be our only player that's been involved in anything like that. That concerns me. I think, if we're running into extra time, and I think there's some nounce about their team in that sense that they've got some experience in these really heady situations. I think Matty Cash will be a miss for them. It sounds like he got injured on during Thursday's game. It's a difficult thing, isn't it? They might, in that sense, they might be more like we were maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when there's a kind of top tier and then it drops off a bit. Whereas we're a bit more homogenous now in terms of the quality of the players. Maybe that makes for a better team ultimately. But you can't pretend that there's not some real experience of top level play there across and across the team as well, from front to back.
I think what you've mentioned there is that my big other side of the coin really is that the depth there is, I think, something we have. We can bring people off the bench, whereas for them, they've got, some fairly inexperienced players to bring off the bench or to change a game. But then again, they've also got Robert Lewandowski, who's played 147 times for Poland and scored 82 goals. That is wild. I think that, but that is going to be where the game is won and lost, I think, which is why I referenced the second half thing. I think late in the game where we can make changes, I'm not sure how impactful their changes will be. And I think that
I
is
think,
something that plays into our hands.
yeah, I think that's a plus for us. I think looking at the Estonia game, I think it's interesting that, the 5-1 makes it sound like they were very much in charge, and they were. There's no doubt about that. The Estonians were barely out of their half, but the Poles didn't score their second goal until the 50th minute, and they'd spent a good more than half an hour at that point of being a man up. The Estonians lost their right defensive player in, I think it was 28th, 29th minutes, so they played a big deal of the game without him. And I think so it perhaps wasn't as perhaps they weren't as clinical actually as the raw result might indicate. And I think we have to be careful that we don't let we know from the game that they played against us, they're kind of high on the dark arts, that I think we'll need a strong referee. And I think we've got to be careful that we don't get sucked into being a little bit petulant at times based on what they're doing. You look at how, Meppham and Moore and people got their yellow cards on Thursday. It wasn't great, Jordan James's was earned. He took one for the team, but
He
there
really
was a
did.
few people who had sort of tantrum yellow cards, as it were. And I think we've got to be very careful that we don't get sucked in. That might be one of my bigger fears, actually, is their capacity to kind of suck you into that aggro of the game.
Yeah, and I do equally. I think scoring first is always important, but I think it's extra important here. I think if they score first, that ability to the nous, like you mentioned earlier, the ability to wind the clock down and run the game out and irritate us, basically, I can see being something that works for them. So I think that the first goal is crucial. Where are you watching the game, Ruth? What is your plan?
I haven't actually finalized my plans yet. I think I'm going to have to, as is usual here, the game is at lunchtime, so I'm probably going to have to work the morning and then take the afternoon off. So it'll be somewhere fairly close to home, but I haven't worked it out yet.
Simon Ebbs has contacted us and asked a great question. What present do I buy my wife after her being very cool about me heading home to Cardiff from London on Tuesday, having already been down on Thursday for the Finland game last week? Great question. I don't know. Maybe it should like a bucket hat. As I say, I'm a big advocate for the new Wales Gazelles. They're not cheap, but maybe she might like them. I don't know. Good. Enjoy the game, Simon. All the best to you, mate. I am going to watch it at the pub up the road. I did have my ticket, but the way everything has kind of worked out, I can't work it to come back, unfortunately. But hopefully, got some plans to go to Germany in June. We'll
We'll see.
very much see on that front. Dare we do it, Ruth? We were both right in the sense last time that we both said that we thought we would win, and we both did win. You said 2-1, I said 1-0. So much for us being convinced it was going to be a tight game. What is going to be the outcome, Ruth? Give me an outcome and a score, first of all.
This whole thing makes me really... I felt relatively confident about Thursday. This game has terrified me since it was even kind of manifest last November. My fear is extra time and penalties. Oh, Dave, can you imagine?
No, I can't.
I think what I'm going to do, because I don't like tempting fate and saying we'll win, I think I'm going to say Poland in extra time, because I kind of feel more comfortable saying that out loud, although that's not obviously what my heart is saying.
What a dreadful person you are. I've really found it hard. I've really ummed and ahed about what I think is going to happen here. I can see it go into extra time. I got to be honest. I can. I think we're two super evenly matched teams. I don't fancy our chances of keeping a clean sheet. And neither do I fancy theirs. So I think we will score. I think it'll be a super tight game. I can see it being 1-1, and then to make myself feel better, I'll say that we'll nick it in extra time. The thought of penalties, Ruth, will keep me up. It's a good job I'm morbidly hungover today, because at least I know I'll sleep tonight, because I know I'm not going to sleep on Monday. I don't know what work I'm going to get done on Tuesday, as an aside. My general work on Friday was absolutely dreadful. I taught some very questionable lessons last week in an attempt to get through to Thursday. So at least that Tuesday is out the way early and I can be relatively professional for the rest of my week. Apart from Wednesday, where again, if we end up winning on penalties, I can't imagine what state I'll be in by Wednesday. But anyway, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. I think it's going to be a draw in normal time, but I think we will win it in extra time. It's going to be my bet. It's going to be a terrifying game, and I know that we hate doing these predictions, but I think it is something that people keep listening to us for, if nothing else, to see us squirm. I mentioned people continuing to listen to us because on Thursday last week, we had our 100,000th listener, which is absolute insanity. I was thinking about this, Ruth, and apologies, listener. Good God, I don't know why you do this, but thank you for doing so. But when you think, Ruth, that we started doing this in Costello's pub in Jamaica Plain, we didn't have microphones, we didn't have anything else. We talked into my work laptop that I turned on its back, basically, so we could speak into the microphone. Then I basically nicked a microphone that the music department had. People used to give us all sorts of funny looks. We've done our website, we've done the written articles, we did a Game of Willard magazine, we've interviewed so many people, and here we are from 2017, I think it was, that we started, to now being 7 years down the line and 100,000 people have listened to us is mind-blowing as far as I'm concerned. So thank you to every single one of you. That's a big number.
It is. And it felt very auspicious that happened on Thursday as well, didn't it? So we need some other anniversary on Tuesday urgently.
If another 100,000 of you could listen before Tuesday, that'd be fantastic. Thanks.
No, I think it's amazing, because I mean, obviously you and I are doing this because we have a laugh and we enjoy it, and this is basically the extent of our conversation to each other would be about football. I thought you were mad when you suggested that this is how we spend our whatever, you know, an evening down the pub, but it's been great. And I actually did some maths. You know me, I love a little bit of maths.
You do love a
stat. So if you consider, it's about 6.5 years when you look at when we started to now. And that means that 42 people a day, every day in that 6.5 years, have listened to our podcast. It's just absolutely insane.
You stupid bastards. Every one of you. Get a grip of your lives. Dreadful business.
I mean, it's brought us so much fun. So I just want to say, add to your thank yous to folks that have listened, because it's amazing, and I'm just very grateful that people join in with what we're doing and have some fun along the way. And you know, it's great. It's great.
I think that's that. I say this all the time. I'm always very emotional around the football at the best of times, anyway, and especially when I had a few drinks. So I cried at least three times on Thursday, and I text you saying I miss you, which I'm confident you hated, but I did it anyway. But it does make you think about, like, we always talk about how football is the vehicle for a lot of the good stuff, and it's nice that we get to do this and we talk about football, and it means our other halves aren't burdened by us talking constant nonsense. But it if you think about what this has given us and the people we've met, and I remember when we met, when we did an online interview with Owen Von Williams, which was
still
our first
my favorite
interview.
I think still my favorite.
And he had a front row seat to the Euros and told us about it. And then speaking to Jess Fishlock, who basically kept calling us back because she felt so bad that she had to cut off her interview because she had to go to training. And, you know, and it's been amazing, really. Ewan Roberts, Helen Ward, who's helped us out a lot, and Tash Harding the same. Just amazing, really, that being able to speak to these people. And it's given us a little network of people on Twitter, my weird internet friends, as Joy calls them, and I love it. I think it's amazing that we get to meet and interact with these people, and seeing people on Wales Aways and people coming over and saying, "Oh my God, you're the guy from Coleman on a Dream," is one of the most surreal things, but one of the best things ever. So it's something really special. I'm very grateful to everyone who's listened.
Yeah, I just echo that.
Let's finish there, Ruth, on a positive note after your thoroughly depressing prediction, and move on from there. We are aiming to have a quick call after the game on Tuesday, depending on what happens there. So hopefully we'll have a podcast on Wednesday. If we don't have a podcast on Wednesday, it means we've lost and I've just got pissed and we can't be asked to do it, and we'll catch up with you all another time. So hopefully we will be we'll be ringing in your ears on Wednesday morning. We will very much see. Good luck to Wales. This has been an incredibly positive week for us, as we've just mentioned, but the C team won 1-0, a fantastic free kick. The 21s had a great comeback win against Lithuania, which means they're top of their group. The 17s won a game, I think, as part of their elite rounds, whatever they call it now. And obviously we beat Finland. So it's been a fantastically positive week, and let's hope that positivity continues. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gents. Thank you for your time, Ruth.
Oh, yeah, welcome.
Don't forget to go and support us at buymeacoffee.com/ColemanStream and go to bagsybags.com and use the code CHAD10 to get 10% off. Thank you very much. Hopefully, we'll speak to you Wednesday. Up the Welsh.
Bye-bye.